the issuers could do this at a massively discounted commission. Remember, at that time, in the 90s, you might have paid $35 for a trade. I think Charles Schwab was the first one to come out with as a discount broker at $5 a trade, right? Now it's free trade, but how free is that? It's a discussion for another time. But anyway, instead of paying $35 to a broker to sell your shares, most of the issuers started this out would, like when I first got into direct registration, full disclosure, I have, you know, I had two stocks and each of them did a spinoff. So I now have four stocks in direct registration. When I first started, they would charge you to sell your shares, but not to buy your shares. So if I bought my shares, there was no commission to me. If they sold my shares for me, they would charge me, I don't know, a dollar or something. There was some flat fee that they would charge. Because they did, the point was for the issuer to encourage its investors to come closer to the company and to discourage you from leaving. The way that they do this is that they combine many shareholders' sell orders into one transaction so that the portion of the commission borne by any individual investor would be very small. And that's how they were able to take your sell orders at a very discounted rate. Let me just back up for a minute from the, you know, the storyline and talk about why issuers want to do this, right? So issuers want to do this for a couple of reasons. One, which I really talked about a lot here, and that is that they can bring their investors closer to them. So they have your name, your address, and they're able to communicate with you directly about what's going on with the company. They can send you your voting information. You can send your votes direct to them. You know, so there's a lot going on there. But another reason is that some issuers found it an inexpensive and easy way to raise capital. If you find the SEC documents, and I'll talk about this a little bit later, if you find the SEC documents where the company creates their direct registration program, and all of them have to file for that, you'll see that they're registering a certain number of shares to be part of that program. When they're doing that, when they sell shares to you, they're selling you original issue shares right out of that registration so that the company has direct access to that capital. They're not paying underwriting fees. They're not paying commissions to market makers. Those shares are coming straight out. So that was another reason why some companies decided to do this on their own. In addition to this, just connecting investor and investee, right? Let's get the company that you're investing in wants to be close to you because honestly, most issuers recognize that their shareholders are their employees, their customers, the people who live in houses down the street from their distribution points, et cetera. So they are interested. Smart companies are interested in that. All right, so back to the storyline, right? So direct registration, where they figure out how to do all the processing in and out. When shareholders and investors get wind of it, they flock to it. Thousands of people are signing up, 10,000 people for one company are signing up for, to purchase their shares directly from the company. But what happened was that by not cooperating to find an automated solution to the sell side of individual book entry ownership, the brokerage sector, in essence, cut themselves out of the loop. So their whole argument, the central depository and the banks and brokers, their argument was you won't be able to sell your shares without getting a certificate, and it's going to take 6 weeks or whatever. But once the issuers and the transfer agents worked out the sell side to be automated, then that kind of like the brokers had they looked for a cooperative solution, they could have still been part of that process. The cumbersome method of moving stock certificates to sell a share would still be available through, you know, if you want to do that through the broker. But with the issuer offering to sell the features, offering a sell feature in the direct registration program, at that time at little or no cost to shareholders, very few investors are going to take that route, no matter how loyal they are to their broker. T+3 settlement was, well, remember, when this all started, settlement was T+5. Then it moved to T+3. It was moving like at the time that this is coming out, T+3 is an initiative, right? It's something that people are talking about. And they're saying that if you have electronic ownership, we'll never get to T+. So those questions were and are no longer relevant. Individual investors are directly registered on the issuer's books. All their trades are settled through the program's trustee, usually a bank with a broker arm, right? So it's just the transfer agents, although Now, increasingly, you have these standalone professional transfer agents who are not associated with banks or brokers. Dividend payments, proxy cards go directly to shareholders. They don't go through the broker dealers. So it would be impossible then or now to spell out a specific scenario for how any one DRS program. IBM, Exxon, Houston Industries, Ohio Edison, they were some of the first to offer direct registration in 1993. Each company, as I said, the program is run by the transfer agent under a contract from the issuer. I suspect that each individual transfer agent probably has a template for the services they offer in the program. So they may be slightly different from agent to agent. I imagine some companies are going to want to have special services attached to their program. They set their own fees, et cetera, right? That's all true. But in general, these are some of the most common features. Number one, the issuer stops printing new certificates and starts sending out transaction advices for book entry shareholder accounts. That's number one. You can, in most cases, still get a certificate. I think I saw some people ask questions about, like, they wanted it for a souvenir type thing. Certificates have not been outlawed. If certain parties have their way, they would be outlawed, but they're not. They're still available. Some companies opt to issue book entry only. So for example, you could not get a certificate to represent a treasury security. In fact, I wanted to buy a U.S. Treasury savings bond for my neighbor's son for his birthday. And it turns out they don't print those anymore. It's all book entry. So certain securities where, yeah, they're just not available in certificates, but by and large, I think you still can. The idea is, though, that once you're on the shareholder records, the certificate is really redundant at that point. Number two, shareholders can make optional cash purchases of shares directly through the issuer with little or no commission fees, including buying your first share from them. Direct registration participants can sell all or some of their shares through the issuer at a minimal cost, like maybe $5 a transaction. But again, there's no fixed way to say, like, they all set their own prices. They can elect to receive all or some or none of their dividends in cash. You can have everything reinvested, half of it reinvested, none of it reinvested. I don't know what the default is, but one of the spinoff companies that I ended up having shares in was the transfer agent was different from the original. And that transfer agent has a default of sending me a check for dividends rather than reinvesting. So you want to look at what the default was. If you want them or don't want them. Myself personally, I kind of let it build up. That's called share price averaging. The fifth common feature, account statements will be sent out for each transaction, but no less than once a year. So if I don't do anything, if I don't put any new money in or take any shares out of my direct registration account, I get a statement every time a dividend is issued. Because I'm in dividend reinvestment. So they're sending me a new statement to show me how many new shares they bought for me. But if I were trading in that account or buying and selling shares in my direct registration account, I would be getting statements more often. Buy and sell orders will be executed no less frequently than once every 5 business days. Now that's probably still on the books. That's the last one I looked at was 5 days. So, but again, this is all regulated by the Securities and Exchange Commission. Every company has their own program. I just did a quick Google search and I found Wells Fargo's application for their corporate stock, not as a broker or as an agent, but as a corporation. They filed in 2004 for a direct registration program to offer one. Southwest Gas Holdings filed in 2017. And I just did a quick Google search. So if you're interested in the details of any particular program, I would say, first of all, look on the company's, find out who the transfer agent is and look at that transfer agent site. Number two, you can go to the company's corporate site. So even if you go to apple.com, if you scroll all the way to the bottom, it'll say, corporate, right? Because the first time you bring it up, you have phones and whatever. But if you want to get to the corporate thing, you go all the way to the bottom. And then you look for investor relations. And if you can't find it there, then look on the SEC's website and see if you can find the original filing documents. The advantage of the original filing documents, it will tell you if they have filed shares they want to sell directly out of Treasury, right, out of their own inventory, not open market purchases, but that they want to sell directly. That might tell you something interesting too. All right, so direct registration is here, accepted by investors. It's functional. All the kinks have been worked out. So to figure out what that means for a broker, if any of them are listening here, or you as an individual investor, you need to figure out what kind of a brokerage customer are you, right? So I'm assuming that anyone here who's invested in stocks has at least started. If not, if you're not still there, you're still at least started with a brokerage account. It's not right for every individual investor. So there are basically three types of individual investors. One, intermediate traders who play the market prices for gain, aka day traders. I call them day traders. I don't know if they still use that. Number two, passive investors. For example, your initial stock holdings came from an inheritance. You're not interested in increasing or decreasing the position. You're collecting dividends, for example. And then number three, long-term investors. So the first two aren't you should, if you're one of the first two, you're not interested in direct registration. It does not offer immediate buy and sell capabilities. You can't do what's the stock price orders. Everything's just, you know, at the market really, and on the day that, like, within the 5 days before it's the trade is executed. So not for that, not really for that type of person. Most of them also have this minimum buy sell frequency of 5 days. That's the minimum. If they get a lot of orders in, they do it more often. It depends. They're trying to get the hope is that the service provider is trying to get the best price on the overall transaction. Okay. So if they're getting just a trickle of orders and they've only got, you know, orders for 10 shares and 5 days has passed, okay, they're required by their filing, they're required to do it in 5 days to execute the trade, the buyer to sell. But if they're coming in every day and they're getting tens of thousands, I mean, they may even trade every day. It just depends, right? But all they can tell you is what's their minimum frequency. They're not all identical. I can't say that often enough. So for an intermediate trader, a lot can happen to the share price in 5 days. So direct access to the market's a better option than DRS if you're a day trader. That level of access is only possible if you have a nominee account held with a brokerage firm, all your shares are at DTC, and everything's done electronically. Passive investors, like who, you know, inherited shares of IBM, they tend to own either just a few shares or shares in only a few companies. And they issuers are not likely to target them for a buyback, are more likely to that program where they could take in a lot of shares with one trade. But they're not interested in being able to buy and sell shares or buy more shares with cash contributions. So they're generally not interested in that. It does offer advantages. Direct registration offers advantages to the long-term investor. So a broker's customer base will be affected if they cater to long-term investors, right? Long-term investors can take advantage of the share price averaging by making frequent small purchases. A lot of these programs, I haven't done this myself, but a lot of them offer, you know, $25 a month direct withdrawal from your, you know, they take it out of your checking account every month, $25, and buy you shares, fractional shares, whatever. That helps you to average out the cost, right? The price of the shares that you're buying. If you're put off by, at that time, you know, rising commission, account maintenance, then you're a good candidate for DRS. A retail brokerage firm that's interested in retaining those clients would, in fact, have to look at their fee structure. And the free trade brokerage accounts gained momentum around the same time that direct registration became popular with issuers and investors. So that was motivating them to try to get their own costs down and find other revenue streams rather than charging you fees. So direct registration could put brokerage clients at more risk than they realize. The greatest danger is that the individual will invest too much money in an inappropriate security, like putting all your eggs in one basket kind of thing. So it's great if you're an active, informed investor, you like to watch and follow financial news networks, you're looking at Federal Reserve publications, you're following the economy, like that's the type of individual that can do well with direct registration. It's the investment decisions have to be made without the benefit of the personal financial professionals, right? You know, if you're presumably, well, I guess if you're using an online trading account, you're probably not getting one-on-one advice, but some people use financial advisors where they sit down and talk with someone about it. But, you know, nothing really stops any investor from subscribing to the newsletters offered by, you know, lots of financial organizations. Their websites have a lot of information. If you have access to any public library in the United States, most of them subscribe to Bloomberg Markets, Dow Theory Forecast. Like, there's just a lot of newsletters that you might otherwise have to pay the brokerage firm or have an account there to get access to. Some of them are actually published and made available in public libraries. So you can get access to good information. It is important to note that the securities law prohibits solicitation by issuers to get you into the direct registration programs, right? So the direct purchase plans, et cetera, the SEC looks at it as if it were a solicitation for to purchase our shares, right? Because direct registration now has this piece in it that says, send us money and we'll put shares in your account for you. So they're not allowed to do that. In fact, I know a guy that works at ComputerShares, he's kind of high up, and I asked him if he would do an interview about direct registration, just because there were so many questions, right? Everybody wants to know, what is it? How does it work? Is it good? Is it bad? But for the transfer agent, this would be a conflict of interest to talk about one program over another. So this guy works at ComputerShare, and ComputerShare has, I don't know how many thousands of companies, all of which offer direct registration programs in one form or another. So he couldn't come out and talk about it because it might be perceived as favoring one client over another. The companies are prohibited by the SEC from coming out and soliciting it. The direct registration program is run by the transfer agent under a contract with the issuer. The literature that you can get is going to be geared towards informing, although it can be persuasive. They can try to tell you the pros and cons, but they're prohibited from coming right out and saying, hey, join my direct registration program, become a registered holder, would love to hear from you, sort of thing. So just kind of keep that in mind as you're looking at what's being said about it and why you're not hearing from the transfer agents and the issuers on this issue. I'm talking about the origin story because I was there at the origin, so I can tell you what I know about how this all came about. Well, for the brokers that handle the open market trades for the issuers, right, in connection with these reinvestment programs, that helped them to get some more. They're able to get additional work from that. But in general, generally speaking, your broker is not going to tell you about direct registration because it is not in their best interest to do this. Does DTCC support it? Yes, because they hate certificates. Do the broker dealers support it? Not so much, because again, they're all sort of, everyone's looking out for their own best interest. So that's the origin story for direct registration. Hopefully I met the rules. I actually looked up superhero origin stories to find out if there were any requirements. I found them posted in 2008, superheronation.com. Number one, it must be relatable. So I think the direct registration story is relatable. There's so many questions and there's so much bad information. You have to give the superhero a chance to prove itself. I think that direct registration has struggled to come for 50 years. Remember, they've been trying to get this done since 1970. Number three, tie the origin story to the villain's plot. The brokers fought and continue to fight, right? Having this in place. And in fact, the brokers had the opportunity at one point to sort of join in the loop and say, let us all work together to automate this process, and instead fought against it. And then, as you see, got cut out. And then don't make the background too exceptional. And I think I did that. The direct registration actually fed off of the creation of DTCC. Remember, there was a transfer agent depository was proposed before or simultaneously with DTC being proposed. And then finally, the final requirement is to give us a chance for a happy ending. And it's not impossible that a large-scale direct registration would disclose phantoms, right? It's not impossible. So how likely is it? I can't say, but it's certainly not impossible.